You're listening to Italian Dish, and I'm your host, Christine. I'm an expat here in Italy. In each episode, we'll cook one Italian recipe together, and I'll dish a little bit about what it's really like living here in Italy. So, put on your apron, pour yourself a glass of wine, and let's get cooking. Ciao a tutti e benvenuti nella mia cucina.
Hi guys and welcome to my kitchen. All right, so today's recipe has a couple of funny parts to it. It's a little bit of a story behind it. But the recipe I'm going to be making is cappelletti, which is kind of like saying like little hats. And if you're not familiar with that, it is a type of filled pasta, which is typical throughout Italy. And it is typically eaten on Christmas or Christmas Eve, anyways, around the holidays, in a sort of meat broth, and it can be filled with a couple of different types of filling. But I wanted to tell you the ingredients we're going to need for this recipe just right off the bat in case you're interested in cooking along with me. So this is a filled pasta that is made with eggs. So we're just going to need some eggs and some 00 flour or all-purpose flour if that's all that's available to you. And that's going to be our pasta. So for the pasta filling, you're going to need some soft cheese. And there's a couple of different options there. I'm going to be using ricotta and parmigiano. You could also easily use like a robbiola or a couple of other different types of soft cheese. You could even do like meat fillings. If you want specific instructions and would like to make the recipes you hear about in Italian Dish, the recipes are available exclusively to members of the Italian Dish Podcast Cooking Club on Patreon. And so for just $3 a month, you get 4 recipes, 1 per week, and it's a fun way to support the podcast. And you get all of the info and special content, extra content about the recipes that we make. So with that said, let's get into prepping our pasta. So this recipe originally was supposed to be done with my friend Chris D'Alessandro from Impastare. I'm Pastare. He's the king of making pasta. And he is actually literally, he's amazing at making pasta. You have to check out his Instagram. Of course, it will be linked in the episode show notes. But he is an amazing teacher of how to make pasta as well. But we had some technical difficulties. And so I'm hoping I can include bits of the audio from the original time that we made this together. But I ended up trying to, and I was actually feeling really kind of let down about how the whole experience went. I was like, oh, I can't believe this happened. Like, I was so excited about it. And of course, what would happen? But technical difficulties. So, you know, I'm an amateur podcaster. We're doing our best over here. It's the holiday season. Things are busy. Have a little patience, have a little grace. But it actually gave me the opportunity to try and make this again. So that's what we're doing today here. And I'm taking all of the knowledge that I learned from him, plus a couple of, you know, tutorials that I watched trying to improve my egg pasta game. So you guys, along for the ride, let's do it. So I've got my flour weighed out, and a good rule of thumb for making egg pasta is about 100 grams of flour per person, and per person you also need one egg. So one egg, 100 grams of flour per person. So I'm just going to try and put all this flour that I've got weighed out on my work surface and set my bowl aside. And I'm going to try and do the little like well method that I'm sure you guys have seen along in the internet. And that sound is my bench scraper. And I've decided that this is my best friend in the kitchen. If I could leave all of my kitchen tools, I think this is the only one that I would never divorce. And so basically you've got your little like mountain of flour. I'm just going to create like a little volcano. So keeping the walls as high as I can, using my other hand to sort of keep the flour contained. And spreading it out so that I have room for the eggs once I crack them in the center. Keeping the walls high. Okay. And as I said, and as it's probably obvious to anyone who's listened to more than one episode of this podcast so far, I'm not the expert on Italian food. I live in Italy, love cooking, and you guys are along with me on an adventure as I learn how to do traditional recipes, trial and error, a couple of fails along the way. And that's the fun of it, you know? Okay, so I got my little egg volcano, flour volcano, that is. Ready to crack some eggs. And I'm just going to crack those right into the center. I never get tired of seeing how beautifully golden the yolks are in eggs in Italy. I think that's just like shocking to me. When I went back to the States after living here, I was like, wow, the eggs are so pale. All right, guys. So eggs are in the middle of our flour, and I'm going to just sort of use a fork to puncture the yolks. Now I'm just going to like kind of hold it almost like I'm holding a pencil. And so it's at like a maybe 40 degree angle. I don't, oh my gosh, geometry. And I'm just going to like whisk the eggs as if I'm scrambling them. And this is a good, you know, point as to like having the walls of your egg yolk pasta volcano high. Because if you're like whisking eggs, you don't want them to fly over the walls of your fortress, of your flour fortress. So naturally, as I'm whisking, a little bit of flour is getting mixed in. Pretty sure that's normal. And you'll also notice there's no salt in this. Don't need it. We're going to salt the water when we cook the pasta anyways. So I'm just continuing to whisk. Tiny bit of flour is already being incorporated, but not much. Okay. I'm going to use the fork to try and like kind of scrape along the inner sides and work like clockwise to add flour and continue incorporating that in with the fork. Another turn about the circle. So if anybody else is intimidated by making a pasta, I hope you also just realized how intimidating it is for me too. I don't know what it is. Like it's such a magical process. I mean, I think via my last failure of the time when I tried to make this with Chris, a couple of lessons were learned. One being, it's really hard to teach someone something like this via audio, which of course you guys, I'm sure you know YouTube exists, YouTube University as I refer to it. You can learn so much from that. And, you know, this is the kind of thing, it's like if you don't have an Italian nonna to teach you, it is really hard. And I think, you know, hats off to all of us out there who are trying to learn how to cook Italian food without that person who's like physically there showing you when you're screwing up and how to do it right. All right, so I'm still mixing in flour, making sure not to like destroy the walls of my my volcano. How do I keep referring to it? My volcano. So it's going to start resisting a little bit as more flour is incorporated. That seems normal. And guys, I'm also not making this with any like fancy pasta making equipment. I literally just got like a pastry rolling pin, a bench knife, and a fork. And optimism. Oh my gosh. So Christmas is only a few days away also. Can we believe it? It's crazy. So Chris eventually, like originally taught me this recipe with hopes that I was going to be able to make this for my family's Christmas lunch. And then once I actually conferred with the women of the family, about what was my duty for lunch, they confirmed that I'm only responsible for the primo, which was actually really a relief, because if I had to do like the whole meal, I think I would have probably crumbled at the pressure, because it's just been a year, honestly. And also, I just don't need that right now. I'm a mother of a toddler. I'm a podcaster. I work. I'm a pretty busy lady. And so it's just like, I'm glad to only really have to do one thing. Let's just be honest. I think in the past, maybe my pride would have been hurt by such a demotion, but it's fine. I mean, hosting is like already a stress enough. So, all right. So now it's like pretty well mixed in. It's like a little bit of a gooey pasta blob in the middle. It's like a bright golden yellow color. I'm going to continue mixing in more flour. So I'm doing this technique that I saw via Yummy Italy, which if you guys don't follow that lovely lady on Instagram or that account, I definitely recommend them. They have some really useful pasta info, and it's actually a cooking school in Bologna, which I would love to go to learn an actual class, because my friend Chris can teach me, but I also would love to, you know, learn some traditional methods and improve. So now it's like basically getting to the point where it's impossible to incorporate with my fork anymore. I'm going to just start flicking in the dough from the outside. And, okay, yeah, it's really not. The fork is over. Fork time is done. And I'm just going to use my dough, like my bench knife, to scrape that off. Flick the flour in. And then an interesting technique that I learned from Yummy Italy is that you just kind of, which I'm sure is like not theirs originally, but whatever. You use your bench knife to sort of bring in all the flour, clean the dough surface, and just like start lifting the dough up with the flour around it. Not doing any kneading or cutting it in. It's just sort of like a lift thing. And it kind of ends up like this weird pastry crust almost texture. But it's kind of like absorbing the flour as I do that. So I'm just like lifting. Still a bunch of flour flying around. And I think this is where I used to go wrong in making egg pasta, was I immediately started like kneading the daylights out of it. And that just ended up probably developing too much gluten. Or maybe I didn't let it rest long enough. Because it really, I mean, the texture of my pasta was like the major problem, I'll say. So I'm just going to keep doing this. Flour is still incorporating. It looks really shaggy. It's kind of like all broken up into little bits now. Trust. Have faith with me, you guys. So anyways, yeah, what I am making for Christmas lunch is not this, even though I would have loved the challenge, because I am forever the overreacher with my cooking adventures. But I am making a lasagna a la bolognese, which is kind of funny because my husband's family is not from that area, but it's like just the classic, like they just love lasagna. Well, this is actually kind of magical. Can I just say the flour is all getting absorbed? I didn't even believe this was possible. Okay. keeping on. So yeah, I'm making ragu and making lasagna, which is a tried and true. I was like telling him, I was like, well, what if we tried to make like a different type? He was like, don't go with something that you've never done before. You don't know if it'll turn out. And I was like, oh, but like, that's all half the fun. And he might be right though, because it is Christmas and their expectations are generally pretty high on like the quality of the meal. So probably best to just play it safe in this particular context. All right, so there's no more flour that's just like flying all over the place, per se. It's all pretty much there. So now I'm just gonna like bring the dough together and start like pushing away with my wrists, pulling up and back, pushing away. And this is the part where your hands are really getting involved. And this is, again, this is a completely different technique than the way I used to try and make pasta. Which probably means I was just doing it wrong. So I'm like quarter turn, picking things up, smushing. Using the bench knife to sort of incorporate all of those bits from the counter. Now you're just sort of kind of like rolling it in itself. So rolling this big pasta roll back and forth, picking up all the bits from the counter, which are lessening. They're getting absorbed into the party, to the pasta party. Okay. So now we're just going to start like doing the knead, which I guess you want to take like a fold and push it down. And you want to keep kneading it for about 10 minutes. Of course, with making pasta, as is like everything in Italian cuisine, you really have to be aware that like quantities, measurements, time, instructions in general are all to be heeded with some liberty, some leeway for the weather or the politics of the current generation. It's just like things will change and you have to kind of know the texture of what you're getting at and go with the flow a bit, which is hard to do as a cook because you kind of want things to be predictable, but they aren't always that way. Sometimes you have to go with the unexpected, which is kind of like the lesson of 2020, isn't it? It's like, how would any of us have known that this was going to be the way this year went? It's kind of crazy. Like last year, this time last year, I was in America visiting my family with my then 6-month-old and getting family photos taken in the park, just like easy breezy. Not a care in the world. Oh, it's crazy to think about. I mean, like, even just seeing, I don't know about you guys, even just seeing, like, Christmas movies and TV and movies made before this whole, like, pandemic of 2020, I get a little bit anxious just seeing, like, people standing too close to each other. I'm like, what are they? Oh, you gotta move back. Like, it's just crazy how much has changed in such a short amount of time. So I guess that's also why I'm like turning towards these comforting recipes and things that I love to make to try and bring some normalcy back. I mean, I don't know about you all, but I decorated like crazy in our house. I mean, the paper snowflake game alone has elevated the decor to our house to a crazy Christmas level. We made a wreath. We hung it up on our door, like handmade this wreath with twigs that my husband collected from the park. Like, we really went all out. And it's like no one's going to appreciate it. There's nobody here to see all these Christmas decorations but us. But they do make me really happy. So, you know, there's value in that for sure. Okay. So the dough is like really clumpy. It's definitely still pretty textured. We've got a ways to go before we're done kneading it. And then we need to let it take its own little pasta rest. I'm really sad that I messed up the recording with Chris because it was just comical the way it all went down because the first time we recorded together when we made pizza alla Ione, which if you guys hadn't heard that recipe or that episode, go back and have a listen. It's a great one. But we suffered technical difficulties on his end recording that episode. And this time around, trying to record Capelletti, it was on my end. And it was the stupidest thing. I just like messed up plugging in my microphone to the wrong like port on my little adapter. And it was just like, one of those frustrating moments where you're like, well, it just like wasn't meant to be. But then the funny part is that at the end, when I showed him a picture that I had taken of the pasta that I made, he was like, oh, those are so cute, but you made tortelloni, not capelletti. And I was like, oh, good to know. So there you go. I mean, just what a laugh. It was just all around disaster, but it's okay. I mean, I think of it now as like an opportunity, the fact that I got to learn, I got to make, you know, make some mistakes, get some practice in, and now revisit this recipe, revisit making egg pasta with new energy and a new, you know, will to improve. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, I am not, like I said, I'm a novice, so we are working together. And this is one of those things that it's like such a labor of love. The people that end up eating these dishes on Christmas and any holiday and basically any Italian meal never, I mean, I'm talking to the men, they never appreciate, and they, how can you appreciate how much work goes into making like a filled pasta in a broth by hand, all by hand dish. Like, it's archaic how it's all done. I mean, this is completely manual labor and it's very difficult. Like, it's not an easy job. And yet, and it just takes so much like knowledge. I just am amazed at how women have perfected, because this is, I mean, let's be honest, this is the work of Italian women, have perfected such, I mean, just and elevated their cuisine to such levels. So, I mean, again, we're just throwing out major cred to all the nonne out there who continue to make pasta by hand because they are where it's at. All right, my dough is definitely changing consistency a bit. I'm pretty sure I need to keep working it for a while. I mean, it's like you have to roll it, you have to make the pasta dough, roll it, let it rest, roll it out, cut the squares, fill them, fold them, make sure you do all that fast enough so that your dough doesn't dry out. Then, like, either let them dry for a bit or store them or cook them. But you don't just cook them in boiling water, you gotta cook them in this broth that you've made. It's just like a marvel that people do this. I am impressed for sure. I mean, I just didn't come from that type of background. Like, it's not that I didn't grow up eating good food or eating anything homemade. Like, we ate a lot of homemade food for sure. But it was also just like not, it's not in our culture to like go above and beyond for like the homemade from scratch, really, really intensively laborious dishes like this. So I'm just always like fascinated by that. And like my curiosity is always sparked that it is a tradition that still continues despite like so many modern comforts. It's like, this is something that still must be done correctly by hand. I don't know. As you can tell, I'm getting a little out of breath because this is a physical job. And I'm just making this little tiny dough of pasta quantity for circa 2 people since my household is so small. I mean, how can you just like the people that do this for giant groups? I'm thinking ideally this is a group activity. Like, you do this with
other family members or like, I don't know, other women maybe. Somebody can, you know, call me out on that if I'm wrong, but I can see that being fun, like doing it as a group thing. But if you're doing it by hand for a whole group by yourself, you just, wow, impressive. All right, so I think it's been about 10 minutes. My dough is definitely still pretty cratery. So it's not like smooth, but I know it'll smooth out when I, after it rests. Let's see if I poke it, what happens. Just kind of lump it up for a second. So yeah, that little poke springs back. So that's good. Just knead it for a tiny bit more. Sort of even out. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to just sort of like pinch it all up in a little ball. And you can wrap this. I'm just going to stick it on a plate and stick a bowl over top of that plate, like upside down, to cover it so it doesn't dry out. But basically, we just need to let this pasta take a little nap because Lord knows we're all tired and we need the rest too. So pasta's going to take a break, and I will see you guys after the pasta nap. Okay, you guys, so my dough has been resting for, I let it rest for about 45 minutes. 30 minutes is the minimum, I think, that you should let your dough rest. So I'm going to do a little like poke test. And when you poke it, your dent should not spring back, basically. So your dough is really elastic, but your dent stays there. So I've got my filling ready as well, and I'm just going to start by taking my hands to sort of flatten the disc of dough. I'm just going to do the tiniest bit of flour on my work surface here. And so flatten this out. Take my rolling pin. And you're always working away from you. And you want to kind of want to be pretty methodical in terms of like the directions that you roll. So I'm only rolling away from myself and then doing like a quarter turn. This is kind of how I used to roll, well, how I still roll pie dough when I make like American pie. When I make pie. I don't know why I call it American pie. It's a couple of rolls, quarter turn. Couple rolls away from me, a quarter turn. And this will help kind of keep the shape even. So it's always really tempting to just like start rolling a little over here, a little over there. Don't do that. And this is the fun part. This is the moment of truth, actually. It's when you have to roll it out. So the effort is not over yet. It's time to keep working. This is always the part where I'm like, do I really need to do it this way? Can I just get a pasta machine? Would that make my life easier? And I've come to the conclusion that probably won't. I think if you're learning how to make pasta, you kind of got to go about it the original methods, using the by hand methods. So it's like if you haven't learned how to do it the traditional way, have you really learned it at all? I don't know. It's kind of like when I teach English. I teach English grammar and I teach the grammar and I teach the grammar rules and I teach spelling. And especially my students in the lower levels are always shocked when I kind of quiz them on spelling and have them They're like, oh man, spelling is hard. I'm like, I know, but you know, I had to learn all this too. Granted, it's my native language, but I too had to memorize how to spell all of these crazy words. It's kind of like the same principle. Like, we've got to just suck it up and use the rolling pin, I think. Which I don't know. Maybe someday I'll splurge and get myself an actual, like, mozzarella, like the ones made for pasta making that are really long and thin. But this one's a good, like, overall kind of, like, multi-purpose mozzarella. So we're just going to keep trusting and keep turning and rolling. I'm not the best at this, I don't think. This is the part where Chris had me. He had rolled out his pasta in like all of 2 minutes when he made it. He was like, okay, I'm done. And I was like, what? I was like, mine is definitely not ready yet. I don't know if it's like my technique or what it is, but he's just an impressive pasta roller. Maybe it's because he's like got man muscles or something and he's like really strong. I mean, but I'm carrying around a toddler all day. Well, not carrying, but like lifting him out of danger and in and out of a high chair in a crib. I don't know. Go figure. Okay, I was like not listening to my own rules and I was starting to roll it back and forth. Roll away. Roll away from you. Keep rolling away from you. You can still see like the texture. We can definitely see the texture. And I think that's another reason why hand rolling pasta is preferable to using a machine, because you're really just going to get a totally different product. Those machine made kind of things just end up being really, I don't know, flat, you know, they don't have as much character. So yeah, I still think it's probably best, like my husband said, to just stick with what I know for the Christmas lunch. I am making the ragù alla bolognese, which if you guys want some more info on that, I did do an episode about it a couple weeks back. I do have my ragù technique pretty down pat these days. So if you want to join me in a ragù making party, I will be spending hours doing that this week. But, you know, it's not like it's hands-on for hours. That's the other thing. It's like there's some hands-on time and then there's some sort of passive cook time. So it's doable. It's not like adding too much to your Christmas or holiday to do. I mean, but then again, if you really can't even swing that this year, which who is going to blame you? Just, you know, whatever you're making, I'm sure it'll be great. Or if all of it's store-bought, or if you're not doing anything at all and you don't even celebrate the holidays, I'm like, you know, you do you. I'm becoming much more aware of trying to say just like happy holidays to people instead of assuming that they, you know, of course that they celebrate Christmas. It's like a lot of people don't, which I like that in Italian you can just be like, oh, buone feste. And it's like there's all the holidays included in that. Happy holidays, you know? So that's nice. All right, I'm going to keep on rolling away till I get this dough as soon as it needs to be. Okay, you guys, so I continued rolling out my sfoglia of pasta until I got it as thin as I could, which I'm sure isn't as thin as it's supposed to be, but it is much better than last time, I will say. So it's still got this nice, like, rustic texture, and as Chris told me before, the test to see if it's thin enough is if you can, you know, stick your hand underneath and you can see your hand through the sheet of dough. Or, you know, alternatively, if you lay over, like, the dough over a sheet of, like of a kitchen towel. You should be able to see the kitchen towel through the sheet of dough. So I've passed that test. I still think it's a little bit too thick, but I'm doing my best, and this is about where we're at. So I've got a little fluted, like, pasta roller, and I've got to cut squares. So luckily, all that methodic turning and rolling kind of helped to get my pasta really even in like a nice little square. So I'm going to try and cut these pretty evenly, more or less, into like squares. And straight lines. Okay. I'm not a genius at making straight lines, but whatever. We're doing our best. A little bit of an overhang over here. All right. So yeah, already much better than the first time I tried to make this. And just gotta cut in the other direction. So yeah, we want like pasta squares so that we can make our cappelletti. Which now that I know how they're supposed to look, it's not how they looked last time. So I'm just gonna turn them the other way. These like ribbons of pasta. Oh my gosh, I just feel really clumsy doing this. I don't know about you guys. Whenever I do these like new projects, they're both daunting and rewarding, but so I'm gonna try making these a little bit on the big side just because I am an amateur and don't want to get too overwhelmed with the folding. Okay. So I've got some squares. I'm ready to start filling and folding and shaping. So once you've cut all your squares, then you want to dot them with the filling. Which, wait a second, I've got to finish cutting these guys. I feel like when Chris did this, he made like maybe twice the amount of squares that I did. Well, I need like an in-person tutorial from him. That would probably help. Okay, so I got all of my pasta cut into squares. I've got my ricotta parmigiano filling with a little bit of nutmeg. And I'm just going to take a little spoonfuls, dab those in the center. And I'm going to try and shape one of these guys. So basically, via his tutorial last time, you're going to take your little square of dough with its little, filling dot in the center. And turn the corners so that there's one corner facing you and one corner facing away from you. So it's like a diamond shape now. And you take the bottom corner to meet the top corner and press. So those guys, and then you're going to press all the way down the sides. So now you've got like a little arrow pointing away from you. And you're just going to take, sort of like using your thumbs, flip the dough so that the pillow of filling is like up, and then make the two arms of your little pasta friend hug each other. And then just clamp them tight. And that's your cappelletti. Ooh, much better than last time. Very cute. Okay, I can do this. I'm trying to do another one with you guys. So note to the wise, err on the side of underfilling rather than overfilling these, because otherwise you're just going to make it really hard to fold them. So I'm going to do another one with you guys. I'm Make them hug. Ooh, okay. Cute. I did it. I'm not unhappy with that at all. Great. We learned a new skill. We're improving our pasta making technique, even though we're still not as good as Chris, but practice makes perfect, you guys. He's been doing this for years. So I believe in us. Let's keep making more pasta. And there you go. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this recipe, and I hope you have happy holidays. And buon Natale, buone feste from Italian Dish. And thank you to Chris for teaching us this recipe. We will have you on again ASAP to make another recipe together. Ciao! Thank you for listening to this episode of Italian Dish. If you enjoyed this recipe and know someone else who loves Italian food, share it with them. Buon appetito, ragazzi, and until next time, alla prossima, ciao, ciao.